God has a purpose and a great plan for every Christian.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The wildly popular TV series Seinfeld was noted for its lack of a plot. The actors and the action simply followed along with the flow. The problem is, some people live their lives in that way, but especially for a Christian, that is not God's intent. Today starts a new series entitled Growing in God Through Life's Ups and Downs, and we invite you to listen with us as Pastor Brian Grant brings his first message in that series. Here now is Pastor Grant with Becoming a Person of Destiny.
You know, a frog felt pretty sure that he was destined to become a handsome prince. And so to make sure that he was correct, he went to a fortune teller. Fortune teller, she looked into her crystal ball and she said, I see something. I see a beautiful young woman in your future. Oh, he was excited because this was exactly what he wanted to hear. There was a beautiful young woman in his future. He was going to become a handsome prince. The lady continued speaking. She said, she's going to want to understand you, to know everything about you. She's going to stare at you. You fascinate her. Oh, he was really excited now. Wow, goodness. A beautiful young lady who wanted to understand him and to see everything about him. Oh, this was exciting. He said to the fortune teller, Where am I? Am I at a singles party? The fortune teller said, no, you're not a singles party. You're in a biology lab. You're about to be dissected. The poor frog's hope of a great destiny was misplaced. But God has a purpose and a great plan for every Christian. As we begin a brand new year, God wants to remind us that He has a special plan for every single Christian, whether we're young or whether we're old or whether we're in between. And today, we're going to begin a brand new series on the life of King David. We're entitling Growing in God Through Life's Ups and Downs. And it's good that we were reminded of how faithful He is, so we can grow in God through life's ups and downs. And who better to study than King David? You know, interestingly, a lot of us know some things about David, but I don't recall that we spend much time studying David. So we sometimes go through the same stories over and over. But this time you're going to go to some of the stories we don't normally cover when we talk about David, as we have a 9-week series. The entire months of January and February are designated to cover this story on the life of the King David. And this morning I want to share a message with you which I've entitled Becoming a Person of Destiny. Let me share with you this morning three important points from David's roller coaster life. The first thing I want to bring to your attention this morning is his anointing for destiny. The passage that was read by Brother Tim gives an account of David's anointing as king. You see, we're starting at the very beginning. We're starting when David first comes onto the scene in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And here this morning, we heard the story of David's anointing as king by Samuel. Saul at that time was the king. And in fact, even after David was anointed, Saul would continue to be the king. But God had rejected Saul, and He had sent the prophet Samuel to anoint a brand new king. And so He sent him to the house of Jesse because He had made it clear to Samuel that one of Jesse's sons was going to be the one that would be the king to replace Saul. David had 7 other brothers, and all of whom were really much more likely to succeed. The high school class had nominated them as the ones most likely to succeed, not David. In fact, his oldest brother, Eliab, he was so regal that when he first appeared, Samuel was convinced, this is the one. This man has got to be the king. But God said, no. And so Samuel went through all seven of David's brothers. But after he had gone through all seven, God told them that none of these was the one that he had selected. Of course, Samuel, he was puzzled. God, you said that one of Jesse's sons, but I've examined them all. No. So Samuel said to Jesse, Jesse, is there another son? Well, there was. Look at verse number 11 of chapter 16. Verse 11 of 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11. Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. Jesse didn't even mention David's name. Did you notice that? He just pointed and said, there he is, keeping the sheep. Jesse clearly did not expect much from David. But God had big plans for him. And you know, young people and older ones, and for those of you listening to me this morning online, even if our parents and our teachers don't expect much from us, I'm here to tell you that God can use you mightily. Amen? Amen. Listen, our God delights in taking nobodies and making somebodies out of them. Amen? And God told Samuel to anoint David, the least likely to succeed. God tells Samuel to anoint this man, the least likely to succeed, to be the next king of Israel. Oh, my friend, listen, you might not think much of yourself. You may think there's absolutely no hope for you. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a person of destiny. God has a special plan for your life. So the next thing we know is that David is being anointed. Look with me here, verses 12 and 13. So he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy. David was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. David was anointed. But you may say, Brother Brian, what is the purpose of this anointing? Anointing in the Old Testament involved pouring of sacred oil on somebody's head. What was the purpose? What was this? What was the symbolism? It symbolized that God had set a person apart for a specific holy purpose, and that God's favor rested on that person. This person was being singled out for God's favor. God's favor rested on this person, and God had a specific purpose for that individual. David was only 15 years old when he was anointed. David was a teenager. Sometimes I find out that teenagers don't think we can go on cruise control. We don't have to be serious about God. After all, I'm only 14. I'm only 16. David was about 15 years old, and God had chosen him, and God was anointing him for a special purpose. And young people, it's time to stop being lollygagging and just being at ease in Zion. It's time to say, God, I'm available to you. God, I want you to use me for your honor and for your praise and for your glory. David was 15 years old, and the Spirit of God had now come to rest on him powerfully. No wonder he did such a mighty job on Goliath, because the Spirit of God, listen, when God's favor rests on you, it is unbelievable. It's amazing what you can accomplish because God's favor is on you. Amen. I want you to realize, though, that 1 John 2 tells us that every Christian has also been anointed by the Holy Spirit. This business of the anointing is not something that only happened in the Old Testament, because every believer in Jesus Christ has been specially anointed by God. And this anointing provides us with all the resources we need to carry out God's plan and purposes for our life. Now in 1 John chapter 2, when you read it, you'll see it has a lot there as it talks about the anointing. It lets us know there is no need that we flutter and be flustered and go from doctrine to doctrine, because there in 1 John chapter 2, it helps us to realize that because of the anointing, we ought to know the truth of God's word, what God says. You don't need people to be bringing you all sorts of strange doctrine and wondering if that's right, if that's Bible or not, because we have the anointing. And the anointing that we receive from God tells us where what is true and what is an error. So stop running after error. God has anointed us. We know the truth. He has anointed us. He has resourced us to accomplish his purposes. But God is not going to use us until our hearts are right. Look what the scripture says here. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him." Sometimes I hear Christians sometimes. They see a young person and they look so impressive and they speak so impressively. And we say, oh, God could certainly use him. Yes, God could use him not because he's impressive. God could use him because of the anointing that God has put on his life. But God can use anyone. God can use that young person who has never been to school. Oh, sometimes you say, oh, but God could use the other one more mightily. No, one of the most powerful evangelists I've heard in my life is a man in our own church in Jamaica. I had the privilege of preaching his funeral, but I tell you, when you looked at his notes, he could barely read and write properly. But what a powerful servant of God. Listen, not because he went to college, because he never did. Not because he graduated from a good high school, because he never did. He was powerful because the Spirit of God rested on him. My friend, I just want you to know I hope you're getting it this morning. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been anointed by God. And because of that, you are a person of destiny. Listen, God has a purpose and a plan for you. It's time to get off the bench. It's time to stop sitting at ease in Zion and waiting for some train. They're not sure what train we're waiting on. Listen, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, we just read it. It says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks where? At the heart. Put this down. David was chosen because he had the right heart towards God. David was not perfect, but he had a passion for God. So you may as well add this to your notes. The secret to discovering God's purpose, are you with me, young people? The secret to discovering God's purpose is to have a heart that's totally surrendered to God's purposes. Do you hear me? Is your heart totally surrendered to God's purposes? Have you ever watched The Lone Ranger? The Lone Ranger rides again. You know, The Lone Ranger, I don't know if you know the story, because some of us have watched The Lone Ranger, but we missed the first episode. In that first episode, it really tells you about The Lone Ranger, because he was just one of a whole number of rangers. You remember that part of the story? That were ambushed. The bandits had ambushed them, and all the other rangers were killed. That's why he was the Lone Ranger, because only he survived. You know, as he regained his strength, one day he saw this beautiful stallion in the canyon, and that beautiful stallion's name was Silver. Somebody ought to, thank you, Steve. But you know, when the Lone Ranger tried to ride Silver, A Silva was a wild stallion. And so every time the Lone Ranger got on to Silva's back, you know what he did? Kicked him off. But the Lone Ranger would get right back on. So it was on, off, on, off. Off you go, on he comes. Well, eventually Silva got the message that he would have to submit to the Lone Ranger. He would have to surrender his will to the Lone Ranger. And I tell you, once the Lone Ranger took over the reins, Silva was able to do some amazing things that he was not able to do on his own. And I want you to know that's also true about us. Until we surrender to the Lord and turn the reins of our lives over to Him, we will not be able to do the exploits that God has in store for us. The Bible says the people who do know their God shall be strong and do what? And do great exploits. And my friend, God has exploits for you to do. It's not a matter of just living a humdrum life where you show up at church, you keep a bench warm. And the objective is not to come here, keep the bench warm, and show up again next week. God has a plan for you, and God wants us to recognize that He has a plan, but we will never achieve God's purpose and plan for our lives until we are surrendered to His purposes. Are you surrendered to His purposes? Are you submitted to God? Are you willing to let God take control and run your life? First thing we saw today, we wanted to look at is David's anointing for destiny. But second, I want you to look at his preparation for destiny. Samuel anointed David as king when he was, how old did we say? When he was about 15 years old, but he would not be installed as king of Judah until when? He was about 30. And at that time, he was only appointed king of Judah. He would, another 7 years would roll by before he became king of Israel. He was anointed at 15, but it wouldn't be until he was 37 that he became king of Israel. But those 22 years were not wasted. Come on now. For masterpieces are not made in a hurry. Are you with me this morning? And the work that God intends to do in your life and mine is not something that He intends to do in a hurry. And although God intends to use us right now, now young people, don't say, you mean I have to wait 22 years before God uses me? No. God has a plan and a purpose for your life and intends to use you right now. But sometimes before you get to the fulfillment of exactly what God had in mind, sometimes it takes a long time. Oh, if I may tell you my own story, who would have known that at 60-something years, God would call me to pastor this church? Well, you may say, you know, every now and then I run into somebody who say, I always thought it. Well, I never thought it. That was the furthest thing from my mind. That, in fact, 10 years ago, I would have resisted this kicking and screaming. But God was doing something. Boy, it took him a long time to get to here, where we are today. Listen, it took David 22 years. God is working. Some of you think He has already fulfilled His purpose and plan for you. He may not. There may be more chapters that are to be unfolded. Oh, He has been using you along the way. But sometimes all of the things He's doing in your life is just preparation for the real deal. And sometimes it's at 75 and 85 when we actually find out the primary purpose why God put us here. David had to be developed. So let's look at three areas. There are so many areas that we could look at, but here are the three that the Lord put on my heart. First, put this in your notes. He developed a servant's heart. Look here with me in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now remember that this young man has been anointed as the king. And he's not anointed as the king by some little fly-by-night person. He's been anointed by Samuel, God's prophet. God's prophet who is so feared in Israel that even before he went, he realized that the people were going to be nervous that he showed up in town. When Samuel shows up in the town, people are wondering what in the world is going on. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12. Now David was the son of that Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old and advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn next to him, Abinadab, the 3rd, Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep. The Philistines drew near and presented himself 40 days. That's our good friend who? Goliath, okay? That's the Philistine who came and presented himself for 40 days, morning and evening, terrorizing the poor Israelites. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them." Here's what I want to bring to your attention. This man has been anointed the king. And what is he doing? He's still taking care of sheep and acting as his dad's delivery boy. Go take some cheeses to your brothers. Go do this. It hadn't gone to his head. One of the biggest problems in Christian work, in fact, you may not realize this, that there's incredible amount of problems on the mission field. And the primary problem on the mission field is people problem. Did you know that? Missionaries have a hard time getting on sometimes with other missionaries. And part of it is this thing called pride. Because nobody wants to be the server. Everybody wants to be the big cheese. As God develops us, I hope you're listening to me. As God develops us, He wants us to develop a servant heart. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and He will answer your prayer, and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.